ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిహి ఓం. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం సద్గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. జిజ్ఞాసాధికరణం అథాతో బ్రహ్మ జిజ్ఞాస. జన్మాద్యధికరణం జన్మాద్యస్యయత. శాస్త్రయోనిత్వాధికరణం శాస్త్రయోనిత్వాత్. సమన్వయాధికరణం తత్తు సమన్వయాత్. చాప్టర్ 1 పాదాత్రి. దివ్వాద్యధికరణం దివ్వాద్యాయతనం స్వశబ్దాత్. ముక్తోపసృప్య వ్యపదేశాత్. నా అనుమానం అదశబ్దాత్. ప్రాణభృచ్ఛ వేదవ్యపదేశాత్. ప్రకరణాత్ స్థిత్యదనాభ్యాంచ. భూమాధికరణం భూమా సంప్రసాదాత్ అద్యుపదేశాత్. ధర్మోపపత్తేశ్చ అక్షరాధికరణం అక్షరమంబరాంతధృతే సాచ ప్రశాసనాత్. అన్యభావవ్యావృత్తేశ్చ ఈక్షతి కర్మ విపదేశాధికరణం ఈక్షతి కర్మ విపదేశాత్ సహా. దహరాధికరణం దహర ఉత్తరేభ్యః గతిశబ్దాభ్యాం తథాహి ద్రష్టం లింగం చ కృతేశ్చ మహిమ్నః అస్య అస్మిన్ ఉపలబ్ధేః ప్రసిద్ధేశ్చ ఇతర పరామర్శాస ఇతి చేత నా సంభవతి. ఉత్తరా చేత ఆవిర్భూత స్వరూపస్థు అన్యార్థశ్చ పరామర్శః. అల్పశ్రుతేరితి చేత తదుక్తం. అనుకృత్యధికరణం అనుకృతేస్తస్య చ అపి చ స్మర్యతే. ప్రమిధాతికరణం శబ్దాదేవ ప్రమితః. హృద్యపేక్షయా తు మనుష్యాధికారత్వాత్. దేవతాధికరణం తదుపర్యపి బాధరాయణః సంభవాత్. విరోధః కర్మణీతి చేత అనేక ప్రతిపత్తేః దర్శనాత్. శబ్ద ఇతి చేత న అత ప్రభవాత్ ప్రత్యక్ష అనుమానాభ్యాం. అత ఏవ చ నిత్యత్వం సమాన నామ రూపత్వాచ్చ ఆవృత్తౌ అపి అవిరోధః దర్శనా స్మృతే చ. మధ్వాదిషు అసంభవాత్ అనాధికారం జైమినిః. జ్యోతిషిభావాశ్చ భావం తు బాధరాయణః అస్తి. అపశూద్రాధికరణం శుగస్య తత్ అనాదరశ్రవణాత్ తద్ ఆద్రవణాత్ సూచ్యతే హీ. క్షత్రియత్వావగతేశ్చ ఉత్తరత్ర చైత్రరథేన లింగాత్. సంస్కార పరామర్శాత్ తదభావ అభిలాభాచ్చ తదభావ నిర్ధారణే చ ప్రవృత్తేః. శ్రవణాద్య అధ్యయనార్థ ప్రతిషేధాత్ స్మృతేశ్చ. So we have been seeing the 38th sutra of the third pada of first chapter of Brahma Sutra, running sutra number 101. And we said in the last class that through shrauta or smarta samskara, one can get chitta shuddhi and self-knowledge and moksha. And the restriction is with respect to the route that is taken. Chitta Shuddhi is common. It should be done either by Shrauta Karma or Smarta Karma. But self-knowledge can go only through Jnana Marga, gaining self-knowledge through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam only. Then Shankaracharya makes a compromise and he relaxes a little bit. Now let us assume that Jnana Shruti is a Shudra or an Asamskrita Manushya. And even if one assumes that our conclusion must still be Samvarga Vidya is an exceptional Vidya in the case of which Asamskrita Manushyas also has an eligibility. The general rule for Shrauta Sadhana and Samvarga Vidya should come under Apavada rule. This we have already seen, Adhyaropa and Apavada rules. Apavada means exception. So we should never take an exception as a general rule. And Shankaracharya technically presents this. In the Vedas, there are two statements. One is Shudra, that an Asamskrita Manushya is not eligible for Vaidika karmas. And second is, it seems there is another Shruti statement that says people like tribals, hunters, and tribal architects, all those people, they are Asamskrita Manushyas, they don't have Upanayana Samskara and should be assisted in performance of Yagas. That is another statement also like that. They should be guided in the performance of Vaidika Karma and should be assisted by other eligible people. So our attitude towards Vedic statement is what? Veda statement cannot be negated. There is only one way to validate both statements. That is, the first rule is a general rule, and second rule that we just read is an exception. That an Asamskrita Manushya, they are ineligible. There is an exception that can be assisted in the performance of Vaidika karmas by other people who are eligible. This is the essence of this sutra. Even if Janashruti is Asamskrita Manushya, we accept him as exceptional case, allow him to pursue the study of Brahma Vidya. So with this, the 38th sutra of this pada and the 9th adhikaranam, they are over. Now let us have a summary of this adhikaranam according to our 5-factor format. Vishayaha, Samshayaha, Purvapakshaha, Siddhantaha, and Sangati. Now, Vishayaha. Vishayaha is the subject matter. So, Brahma Vidya is the subject matter as obtaining in the original Vedas or Upanishads. So, Brahma Vidya as Shrauta Sadhanam is the subject matter. And second is Samshayaha, the doubt. The doubt is whether it is Sarva Manushya Vishayaha or not. Is it accessible to all people or only to some human beings? And third factor is Purvapaksha, who says it is available for all Manushyas. And he has two reasons also in his mind. In Devatadhikaranam, even though they have no right for karma, and still they had the right over Brahma Vidya. All human beings have adhikara. Purvapaksha is ready to accept Samskrita, Asamskrita Veda, and accept all of them. They have got the right to pursue Samvarga Vidya. But Chandogya Upanishad uses the word Shudra, and Janashruti was called as a Shudra by whom? By Raikwa, and made him ineligible for Brahma Vidya. And the fourth factor is Siddhanti, and he wants to say that Brahma Vidya as a Shrauta Sadhanam is accessible only to Samskrita Manushyas alone. Brahma Vidya as a Smartha Sadhanam can be pursued by one and all. So Samskrita and Asamskrita Manushyas. So as part of Siddhanta, the word Shudra was said to belong to Samskrita Manushya as an exceptional case here. And the fifth factor is Sangatihi, its position. It is rightly placed in the first chapter, third adhyaya, third pada, all that thing. So this we have already seen. This being a technical matter, it is adequate to know that it is placed in the right place. So with this, this adhikaranam is over. Now, before we go to the next adhikaranam, we will make some general observations. Today, actually, when I was talking to somebody, Kanji Paramacharya was talking about this Apashudra adhikaranam separately in some place. So we will see two points here. The one view is that when we study Shrauta and Smartha Sadhanas, the later Smartha Sadhana appears to be superior to the former generally, because Smartha Sadhanam is more advantageous than Shrauta Sadhana. It does not discriminate Manushyas. The discrimination causes generally complexes. One is Samskrita and another is Asamskrita Manushya, and it makes social confusion also. And the Smartha Sadhana does not create any problem at all. Therefore, Smartha Sadhana seems to be superior and better, and it does not have much Vaidika mantras also. Learning Shruti mantras creates problem, Veda mantras, and it is time consuming and it is painful, while the person doing Smartha Sadhana is always easy for him. And third reason is These two advantages are there in Smartha Sadhana. And when you talk about Prayojanam, Shravata Sadhana should give more Prayojana. That is the belief. Again, Smartha Sadhana and Shravata Sadhana give the same benefit also. Both can gain moksha. In fact, it is better to abolish Shravata Sadhanam because Smartha Sadhanam does not create any problem in the society. This is one group. This doubt can arise. And this is a legitimate doubt also. And the answer is that Smartha Sadhanam has got all advantages and it is a fact also. Shravata Sadhanam is not universally acceptable. And Smartha Sadhana is less fire and smoky problem. Also, there is no fire and all in Smartha Sadhana. All these yajnas, this Shravata Yajna, they are all very, very involved yajnas. Agnihotras, all these big yajnas are all very involved. So Smartha, there is not much of this problem at all. But still, Shravata Sadhanam has certain unique features which is not there in Smartha Sadhana. As far as utility is concerned, both are efficacious. Yet Shravata Sadhanam has got some unique features. And Shravata is based on Shruti. And Smartha Sadhanam is based on Smriti. And Shruti has originality. And Smriti does not have originality. It is derivative. Anything original has got its own original glory in terms of what? Originality. Which is recognized by all human beings. Original things are preserved for a long time. If you study the original, for example, the car, the so-called, I don't know, there's a T8 or T9, Ford Motor Company, long ago. They are all antique cars. The original one has better antique, classic value. Even though there are many disadvantages, the original will fetch better price also than the present car. The original car will not be even used for driving, although the buyer is ready to pay a fabulous price to have that car, classic car. So everyone would like to preserve the original car. So from the utility value, it is forgotten, but the original car has got better value through non-utility. So between original and duplicate, we always prefer original rather than duplicate. And what makes one to respect the original? It has got its own value. Veda has got its own originality. With all the disadvantages, it is made insignificant because it is original. Greater price is in the form of samskaras, which is a subtle price. If anyone asks whether Shravata Sadhana or Smartha Sadhana is better, I will ask from what angle you are asking the question. The second feature of Veda is Shravata Sadhana is associated with originality, the originator directly, the one who originates, the Lord himself. Shravata Sadhanas, the sadhanas based on Shruti, the Vedas, they are associated with the originator directly. The originator is whom? Is the Lord. It is the very breath of the Lord. All others are Paurusheya Pramanam. They are all connected with the Lord indirectly only. Their content is borrowed from Vedas, but the words are from Manushyas only. Even though Brahma Sutra is written by Veda Vyasam, it is written by another person only. Every letter of Veda is associated with the originator in the Veda mantras, the Lord. So human beings value anything associated with a great personage. Simple association is enough. I know so and so to make a person happy. Imagine Vedas associated with Bhagavan himself and how great that Veda should be. Such a Lord, such a Bhagavan Veda is associated with. And what should be the greatness of the Vedas now? It is something unimaginable. The value is not tangible. Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha. And it has different dimensions. And it requires particular eye to recognize all of them. One Shrotra says, the main guru is 10 times more respectable than the secondary guru. Like visiting professors and all that, you know. Acharyanam shatam pitha. One's own father is 100 times more respectable than acharyas. Mother is more respectable than father, 1,000 times more than the father. And Shankaracharya in his Bhashyam, he says, Shruti, the Veda Mata, is more respectable even than our biological mother. Shruti has a status. So the superiority is not based on the utility, and it is from the angle of association with great people and here Lord himself. So some are glorious because of original and some because of association. And Veda is glorious because it is original and it is also associated with the very Lord himself. So some has to preserve the original. Let all follow Smartha Sadhana, and original Shrauta Sadhana must be preserved by some members of society, otherwise it will be gone. And use it as Moksha Sadhana, and majority can use Smartha Sadhana and gain Moksha also. So Veda has got some uniqueness. So the option is there with anybody. If they want to follow Shrauta Sadhana, fine. If they want to follow Smartha Sadhana, fine. But both have to gain Chitta Shuddhi. Whichever karma they do does not matter. Chitta Shuddhi is must. Once Chitta Shuddhi and Chitta Ekagrata are developed, then one can go Jnana Marga and then gain Moksha. Moksha can be got only through Jnana. And any of the sadhanas, whether it is Smartha Sadhana or Shrauta Sadhana, doing big yagas and all that thing, or doing Smartha Sadhanas, whether it is simple puja or any but japa, whatever it is, both have the value in making a person eligible, giving Chitta Shuddhi, but Jnanam is the ultimate route. So all discussions are needed because of the value, not because of the utility. And we all said that Shrauta Sadhana has to be preserved. Of course, yes, because there is original. Preservation requires a great price. We also saw that Samskrita Manushyas must have two conditions. Now we face an unique problem in the society, and it is Samskrita Manushyas species has become almost endangered. Actually, in several, it is like maintaining a book. In Sanskrit College in Madras, actually they had lot of old books. So to preserve them, it was a big task, and that costed more money. These are old ones, preserved as is, so that it won't get deteriorated further, damaged further. So the special rooms had to be made, all those things had to be made because that is the value of that. They are all originals. So they do it for society, and it is more done as mockery or false. And even if sacred thread is put on, they don't care for it also. So number of people who interested in Upanaya Samskara is almost, it is going down very much. They don't do the Sandhyavandana Karmas also. There are some people who do not want to preserve it also. The Upanaya Samskara is coming down. Even now, there are some people who want to preserve the thread, follow the Nitya Karma Anushtana. Parents cannot advise the youngsters because the father himself doesn't follow and do the Nitya Karmas. So Samskrita Manushyas will not be there in the time to come. Therefore, if you go on insisting on Samskrita Sadhana rule, it is very difficult to preserve the Shrauta Sadhana, and most of the people, including Acharyas, they say that there should be maybe some relaxation based on the present environment and all with respect to rules regarding Samskrita Samskaras. So Shastra also gives some relaxation. Only thing is what? The rules are relaxed for different reasons. Some say rules are wrong, and some people say rules should be revised, and some other people say rules are not wrong, but they cannot maintain. This is the consensus. Some declare openly and relax it, and some people do not have the courage and implement it without declaring it. It is not done openly. Many do not protest relaxation. And in fact, the rules are relaxed, and even the relaxations are appreciated. Previously, it was objection. Then it was neutrality. And now it has become appreciation. So once we accept relaxation, then what should be the degree of compromise? That's the next question. There are no clear-cut rules regarding the degree of compromise. Once there are Shastric norms for the degree of compromise, that will decide it. In the absence of Shastric norms, what will decide? In other religions, one head is there. There's a head of a religion. In our culture, there is nothing like, there is no head. The question is, who will decide the degree of compromise, since there is no one single head? Different people talk about different degrees of compromise also. Lot of subjectivity has come in this area. One says, with respect to Shravanam, listening to Veda mantras, we need not be strict about the rules. When it comes to Adhyayanam, we must be strict. So Shravanam is okay, you can listen to Veda mantras chanting, but Adhyayanam, if you want to, then there is restriction. And the other person may say, with respect to chanting, we can relax it, and we may not relax the rules when it comes to Anushtanam. Why should we be so rigid? Why not we be less rigid about the rules? This is the field. You cannot say anything about right or wrong. We cannot find what is right and what is wrong. And the second thing is, the degree of compromise, no one is to decide. What I should do is the question, if one asks, it is intimately connected with me. What norm I should use? You cannot say what is right and what is wrong. If I have the capacity to judge and decide my course of action independently with confidence, I can relax the rule as I wish, dictated by my conscience. Suppose I'm diffident and I don't know the social condition, then one can take the guidance of someone who is superior and who is informed and whom you trust. This is most important thing. And ask that person for the guidance. One need not feel guilty at all. If you seek guidance from another person, two conditions are important. If you seek guidance, follow that guidance then. And when you follow that, do not be judgmental. This guidance is right, others are wrong. All those things, don't go that route. Do not cross-check whether what you do is right or wrong when you take the guidance of somebody whom you believe. And one will say one thing, another will say another thing. Therefore, if you want to follow a norm, follow it to, if you are confident enough, or take the guidance of someone without judging him or others. And this is only solution to this problem. And these are all incidental discussions, because as what I mentioned today, particularly about Paramacharya discussing this Abhishudra Adhikarana specifically in some place, because this kind of doubts, these kinds of opinions can definitely exist, and it will exist all the time. So with this, the 38th sutra of Apashudra Adhikaranam is over. And this goes outside the flow of the main topic of the chapter, as would have already found out. This is an incidental diversion. The main topic is what? All the Upanishads reveal Brahman as Chetana Upadana Karanam of this world. And this is revealed in the first chapter, first padas and second padas of chapter 1. And in the third pada also it is revealed, whereas these two adhikaranas, 8th adhikaranam and 9th adhikaranam, only there is some diversion as to who is the adhikari for Shrauta Vedanta Shravana. And even if we discuss devas are eligible for the study, in another we studied whether shudras are eligible for the study. Therefore, these two adhikaranams are diversion. And after the diversion, Vyasacharya, I told all these things essentially to communicate the thing that it is not the mainstream of discussion of Brahma Sutra. This is a diversion topic because the Adhikarithvam is discussed here. And Vyasacharya comes back now to the main discussion. Therefore, the coming Adhikarana, the next Adhikarana, 10th Adhikaranam, that should be read after the 7th Adhikaranam itself, because 8 and 9 are diversions, as I told. So for continuous flow, after the 7th Adhikaranam, the 10th Adhikaranam only should have been read. But we went through the full course as is, because we don't want to miss anything. And the interesting thing is, the diversion Adhikaranam is a difficult Adhikaranam, as you had already made, because there could be a lot of questions. So with this background, let us go to the 10th Adhikaranam. This is called Kampanadhikaranam. Kampanadhikaranam. And there is only one sutra, it's a small adhikaranam, and that sutra is Kampanath. Kampanath is the sutra, one word, sutra 39, 102nd Brahma Sutra, running number. As I said, this is the 10th adhikaranam, and it is one sutra adhikaranam, and here Vyasacharya enquires into a Vishaya Vakyam from Kathopanishad. Kathopanishad, second chapter, third section, second mantra. And what is that mantra? Yadidam kimcha jagat sarvam prana yejati misritam mahadbhayam vajra mudyatanyam yetadim viduhu amrutaste bhavanti. Mahadbhayam vajra mudyatam yetad viduhu amrutaste bhavanti. That is the mantra occurring in Kathopanishad, second chapter, third section. This is the second mantra. And this mantra, what does it talk about? This talks about Brahma. Amritattva Mandal has come. Talks about Brahma. And the gist of this mantra is, whatever there is in the whole world, it has come out of prana. Whatever is in creation, it has all come out of prana and trembles in prana. Trembles. Trembles out of fear. The prana is a great terror. A raised thunderbolt. Vajram Udyatam is raised bolt. It is not just a thunderbolt kept in some place. It's a raised bolt, ready to be deployed. And those who know it, they become immortal. The people understand the what is the tattvam behind it, they are immortal. Now the entire world revolves around Brahma. Okay. Yadidam kimcha jagat sarvam prana yejati nisrata. This is the first line of this mantra. Prana yejati. If you split this sandhi here, it is prane sati yejati. Prana means Brahman here. Therefore, in the presence of Brahman alone, sarvam jagat nisritam bhavati. The entire universe, sarvam jagat, arises, nisritam, is born in the presence of Brahman. And yejati means kampate. Kampate means resolves. This is the adhikaram, kampanath. It revolves. Yejati, the entire universe revolves in the presence of Brahman. It revolves in the presence of Brahman. And the word yejati literally means moves about, revolves. And we use the word moves or revolves because we find everything in creation is moving according to cosmic laws. Everything is creation, in creation moves according to certain rules. The planets, they move about according to some laws. Sun, galaxies, themselves, they all move in the cosmic makeup according to certain rules. All are harmonious and not chaotic movement at all. Not only that, the very life on earth is possible only because of all these movements. Cosmic order, the seasons come and go because of movements. The day and night move because of the movement. We are alive because of this movement. This cosmic functioning is called revolving. Therefore, the word yejati means the cosmic functioning according to these universal laws, which are inviolable. Inviolable. Therefore, this mantra says, in the presence of Brahman alone, the entire universe arises and functions. So from this, what we come to know? Brahman is the cause of the universal function. So Brahma Jagat Cheshta Karana. This is Brahma Jagat Cheshta. Brahma Jagat Cheshta Karana. Cheshta means function according to the universal laws. So the universe functions according to the will of Brahman. And in the second line, the mantra says, Mahat Bhayam. Mahat Bhayam, Brahman is frightening. Brahman is frightening like what? Vajram Udyatam. A person who has a powerful weapon like Vajrayutam. Vajram means Vajrayutam of Indra, thunderbolt. So the Brahman is cause of fear. How do we know that? Because the entire universe functions without violating the laws. All the devatas, Surya, Chandra, Prithivi, Nakshatra, Samudra, everything, they are all observing their limits. And the very observation is the indication of fear. In Taittiriya Upanishad, in Brahmanandavalli, it says, Bhishasmat vatapavate, Bhishodeti Suryaha, Bhishasmat agnischendrascha, Mrityurdhavati panchamayiti. Through the fear of the Lord, the cosmic order, The wind blows through the same fear. The sun rises through the same fear of the Lord. Again, the fire and the moon, they are all, the Indra, all of them, they function. Even the Lord of death, Mrityur Dhavati, runs about all over the place because of fear of the cosmic order. For example, if you take places like Chennai or some other places in India, there's a traffic police who regulate the traffic. And because of the policeman, the traffic runs smoothly. There may be still a traffic light, but the policeman makes a big difference. Nobody follows the light if the policeman is not there. So yatra yatra orderliness is there in traffic, tatra tatra, what is the policeness is there. So the universal police is Brahman or Ishvara. And the second line of the mantra says, Brahman is Bhaya Karanam. First line says, Brahman is Jagat Cheshta Karanam, for the function of the entire universe. And not only that, then the mantra concludes, Yetad Viduhum Amritaste Bhavanti. Whoever knows this Brahman becomes immortal. That's what the Shruti says, Amritam. Yaha, yaha means what? Sadhana Chaturtaya Sampanna Adhikarinaha. Yetat Cheshta Karanam, Bhaya Karanam, Brahma Janati. The person who knows the universal functioning, the cause of the universal functioning, and also the fear of the universal functioning of the cosmic order, that person, Saha Purushaham, Amritaha Bhavati, becomes immortal. Or Ye Viduhum, Te Amritaha Bhavanti. We have to convert the Yetat Viduhu into plural. Yetat Viduhu, Yetat means Brahma. Te Amritaha Bhavanti. So from this, we come to know what? Brahman is the cause of immortality also. Amritatva Karana. Thus the Kathopanishad, second chapter, third section, second mantra points out what? Brahman is Jagat Cheshta Bhaya Amritatva Karana. Cheshta, Brahman, Jagat Cheshta means the functioning. Bhaya, the cosmic order, maintenance of the cosmic order, the fear. Amritatvam, immortality, the cause for all this. It is the cause of universal functioning, universal fear, and universal liberation. Universal fear should be understood properly, the maintenance of the cosmic order. The planets all move in the same trajectory without any problem. And why this wonderful mantra appears in Brahma Sutra? When you look at it, you don't seem to have any confusion at all. We don't have any confusion. Why should it be placed in Brahma Sutra, where there is a controversy? The problem is, the mantra does not use the word Brahman. On the other hand, it uses the word prana, denoting Brahman. So on hearing prana, we take it as the Vayu Tattvam only. So does it refer to the Loka Prasiddha Pranavayu or Brahman, the Jagat Karana Brahman? That is the question posed here. Prana is Brahman only. This is the general introduction of the sutra, because we know, because it is, that is the subject we are talking. Now there is a general analysis, we let us do. Vyasacharya, he says, prana is Brahman only. We know also that's what he is going to say. The reason what he gives is kampanat, that is the sutra. Kampanat means jagat cheshta hetuho. The Lord who is the cause of universal harmony. Because there is an order, because of that, there is a harmony. And in all the Upanishads, we find Brahman alone is the cause of universal functioning. And it is not only the Shrishti Karanam, but also the Sthiti Karanam. Prana is the universal controller, and it is Brahman and not Vayu Tattva. This we have seen in all Upanishads. In Brihadaranyaka, we have seen in the third chapter, seventh section, 15th mantra. Yaha sarveshu bhuteshu tishtanti sarvebhyaha bhutebhyaha antaroyam sarvani bhutani na viduhum yasya sarvani bhutani shariram yaha sarvani bhutani antaroyamayati yeshata atmam antaryami amritam ityadibhutam atadhyatmam. This mantra we have already read. This is in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, third chapter. And what does it say? The one who is the inhabitant, inhabits all beings, indweller of all beings. Yet it is within all beings. Who is the inhabitant of all beings? It is within all beings whom all beings do not know. Whose body that all belongs. They all is all beings itself. So the one who controls all things in creation, all beings from within, that is what? That is your inner controller, yourself, the immortal. So this is the general meaning of this mantra. So this is with respect to beings. Now with respect to the body, the Upanishad clearly says, Brahman alone is the inner controller of everything. Again, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in the third chapter, again, actually third chapter, seventh section was the previous mantra that I read. Now in the eighth section, ninth mantra says, Etasya va aksharasya prashasane gargi. This already we know, Yajnavalkya gargi, that discussion. Surya chandramasau vidrutau tishtati. Etasya va aksharasya prashasane gargi. Dhyava prithivyo vidrute tishtati. Etasya va aksharasya prashasane gargi. Nimesha muhurta ahoratrani ardhamasa masa ritavaham samvatsara iti vidrutas tishtanti. Etasya va aksharasya prashasane gargim prachyoncha prachyonya nadyaham stendante shvetebhyaham parvatebhyaham pratichyaham anya yam yam cha disham disham anva. Etasya va aksharasya prashasane gargim tadato manushyaham prashagam santi yajamanam deva tarvi pitro anvayattaha. We saw this mantra under the rule of this Aksharasya, imperishable Brahman alone, O Gargi, Yagyavalkya tells to Gargi, O Gargi, the sun, the moon, they are all held in their respective places, respective courses. The sky, the earth, they are all held in their respective positions. Minutes, hours, days, nights, fortnights, months, seasons, years, they are all held in their respective positions. The rivers flow to the east from the snowy mountains. Others flow to the west, each keeping to their respective directions under the rule of this cosmic order. People praise those who give. What thing? Upanishads, how much it says? People praise those people who give things to them, who give whatever they want to give. It could be even just mere consoling words. The shining ones depend on the sacrificer, whomsoever is willing to sacrifice. And the departed ones, they are on the independent offerings made to them, the yagas and all that, homas. So in the presence of Brahman alone, the heaven remains where it is, the sun remains where it is, moon remains where it is, rivers flow according to the order, mountain remains where it is. If it starts to fly, what will happen? So because of this, we conclude Prana is Brahman alone in this Chandogya mantra, even though it does not explicitly say Brahman. So now let us see the word analysis. There is only one word in this sutra, namely Kampanat. Kampanat means we supply here two words. One is Prana and Eva. So the word Prana, according to Kathopanishad, is Jagat Cheshta Brahman. Cheshta means the function, universal function. So because of the universal orderliness is a function, or universal functioning, and there is actually another reference is there in the Bhagavad Gita itself, which we have read many times, and it's the 18th chapter. It says, Ishvara sarva bhutanam tadeshwar deshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. The 18th chapter, Krishna says, the Lord abides in the hearts of all beings, causing them to turn round by his power, as if they were mounted on a machine. Thus, Brahman is the innermost self, the supreme of our existence, the Lord very boldly declares. So all life is a movement of this rhythm of his life, the Brahman's thing. And our powers and acts are all derived from him, the Lord. The whole universe is the puppet. And Ishvara controls everything through his strings of what? Our karma. Pranaha is Brahman, and he is the controller of everything. And Shankaracharya says, it is Jagat Bhaya Hetutvat. Ishvara alone is the cause of the universal fear. By fear, we should understand its cosmic order. And as I told from the Taittiriya Upanishad, we already read it, Bhishasmat Vata Pavate, that mantra. Brahman alone is presented as Baya Hetu, and Prana is presented as Baya Hetu, and therefore Prana and must be Brahman. That is the conclusion. Then there is a third reason also. Prana eva Brahman, because Prana is only is Brahman because it is said to be the cause of immortality. Elsewhere, it is also pointed out that Brahman is Amrita Hetu also. Third chapter, the second section, ninth mantra of Mundaka Upanishad. This mantra also we have read earlier when we did Mundaka Upanishad. Sayohavai tat param brahma vedam brahma eva bhavati. Nasyam brahmavit kule bhavati. Tarati shokam tarati papmanam guha grantibhyaha vimuktaha amruto bhavati. The one who knows that supreme Brahman, he becomes Brahma. And in his family, kule, in his family, none who does not know Brahman will ever be born. What a guarantee Upanishad gives. He crosses grief, tarati shokam, crosses sin, tarati papmanam, being free from the knots of the heart, becoming immortal. Guha grantibhyaha vimuktaha amrutaha bhavati. It is clearly said Brahman is amrutasya hetu. And here prana is said to be amrutasya hetu, and therefore prana should be Brahman. Now the Purva Pakshi says, of course he has to refute, right? I don't want to accept prana as Brahman at all. Prana is only vayu tattvam. That is his argument. Both in the samashti and in the vyashti, both in the total and also in the individual, which is widely understood by all people, prana tattvam. So why do you give up the widely known popular meaning and give some other meaning? The Purva Pakshi asks. Because prana is the popular meaning, is prana tattvam. So he says, prana itself can be the cause of all these three hetus that we talked about. You Siddhantis are saying, prana is jagat cheshta karanatvat, prana is baya hetutvat, and prana is amrutatvat. I have got enough Upanishadic support to conclude in this manner also. Prana is jagat cheshta karanam. Prana is baya hetuhu. Prana is amrutatvat. So all that I have got reasons for also from the Upanishads. In Prashnopanishad, in the second chapter, 13th mantra, second section, there is the prana's glory is talked about there. And in the Upanishad says, pranas yedam vashe sarvam tridive yat pratishtitam mateva putran rakshasvam shrischa pragnyancha videhi na iti. Whatever exists in the three worlds is all under the control of prana. And prana protects us like what? Like a mother protects her children. So prana gives us prosperity, prana gives us wisdom, all that it is said there. So the entire creation is under the control of prana only at the individual level. And we know prana controls all our action at the individual level. If prana stops, even involuntary action stops. All vyashtis, individuals are controlled by vyashti prana, individual prana. And samashti prana vayu, that vayu tattvam alone controls everything. Hiranyagarbha, we call it sutratma, if you remember that word. Hiranyagarbha sutratma alone is the controller of everything. Sutratma, just as a thread, sutram, keeps all the beads together in harmony. Hiranyagarbha sutratma keeps everything in order, in that place, in harmony. Vayu tattvam jagat cheshta hetuhu. And there is another mantra also he quotes. Just as the hub of a wheel, all these mantras we have seen earlier, just as the hub of a wheel sustains the wheel, the universal wheel is sustained by the prana tattvam only. Again in Prashnopanishad, in the second section, sixth mantra, ara iva ratanabhav prane sarvam pratishtitam ratanabhihi vrucho yajugumshi samani yajnaha kshatram brahmacha. All of them, Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Yajnas, Kshatriyas, Brahmanas, all of them. Then the Purva Pakshi says, the prana is baya hetu also, because he has to prove universal function, baya hetu, all that, and amrita hetu, he has to prove all of them. So it is by Hetu also. In Prashnoparishad, he quotes another mantra, second section, 10th mantra. Yada Tvam Abhivarshasyate Maha Pranate Prajaha Ananda Rupas Tittanti Kamayanam Bhavishyati. Prana alone is responsible for the rains. In the form of Vayu Tattvam, Prana brings clouds together and it is responsible for lightning and the rain to come. Vayu is the cause of the rains and thunder also. So this thunder causes fear in everybody. Vayu through thunder causes fear. So it is Baya Hetu also. And there is another mantra also that says, Vayu alone is Indra and all that. Prana as Indra Tattvam. Indra means Indra Tattvam. Carries thunderbolt. And because of this, it causes fear. So Prana is Amritatva Hetu also. It is cause of immortality. And the Purvapakshi says, you need not bring Brahman at all here. Prana, Vayu Tattvam itself is cause of immortality. Again, the third section of the 11th mantra of Prana, Prashnopanishad says, Ya evam vidvan pranam veda na hasya praja hiyate amruto bhavati tadeshaha sloka. That's a sloka. For what? This wise person, Ya evam vidvan, this wise person, who is wise? Who knows the prana this way, pranam veda. How? He will not have to suffer. If he understands prana in this manner, he will not have to suffer. His offsprings do not perish. Na hasya praja hiyate. Amrito bhavati. They do not perish and they become immortal. So the concluding mantra of Prashnopanishad says, Utpatti mayatim sthanam vibuktam vibutvam chaiva panchadam adhyatman chaiva pranasyam vijnayam ritam ashnutem vijnayam amritam ashnute. He who knows this the origin, the entry, the seat, the all-pervasiveness, the fivefold distribution of the prana, prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana, and the internal state in the body, the physiological functions and all that, that person obtains immortality. So immortality, amritattvam also is given by pranatattvam. So the one who knows all the glories of prana becomes immortal. Therefore, these three reasons fit very well with Brahman as also to prana. And so the Purvapakshi says, I have got better argument and I have got extra support also. When prana is taken as Brahman, that is unpopular. Because that's an unpopular meaning, secondary meaning, and not primary meaning. So you give up the primary meaning of prana and take the secondary meaning, and we have always told primary meaning has got better value. So between the two, the prasiddha artha is more powerful. Therefore, I conclude. I means what? Purvapakshi. I conclude prana is vayu tattvam only. Now, Siddhanti has to refute. He says, I will give up the primary meaning. What does he say? You also take the secondary meaning in a worse manner. He tells the Purvapakshi, you also take the secondary meaning only in a worse manner. How does he do that? Now, let us take the three hetus now. First is what? Jagat cheshta karana. Right? So the universal function. And you say Vayu is the sustainer of everything. And we say Brahman is the sustainer of everything. And when you say Prana is sustainer of everything, by that what do you mean? You mean totally everything. That's what you are telling. It's sustainer of everything. But Prana is sustainer of everything. That is true. But what? Condition. Other than Prana itself. Somebody else is sustaining prana. Prana doesn't sustain itself. It may be sustainer of everything else. Therefore, the word everything has got restricted meaning when you say that. It is only relatively everything. But when we say Brahman is cheshta hetuhu, it means everything including prana also. In Kathopanishad, in the second chapter, second section, fifth mantra says, na pranena, na apanena, martyo jivati kaschana. Itarenatu jivanti yasmin neta upashritav. Not by prana, not by apana does any mortal live. But it is by some other mechanism on which these two depend that people live. And he says, prana is only a relative controller because Brahman controls prana also. Therefore, the word sarvam, you give restricted meaning, you Purvapakshi gives restrictive meaning when you take prana is all. And when we say Brahman is sarvam, it is unrestricted meaning. Vayu may be the controller of everything and it cannot be the controller of akasha. Akashad vayuhu. Vayu comes from akasha, supported by akasha. And during pralaya, vayu gets dissolved. If it is dissolved, how can it be controller of all? And you say prana is bayaha karanam. And we say Brahman is bayakaranam. Prana is bayakaranam by everything except prana. Again, whereas Brahman is sarva bayakaranam. And sarva includes prana also. Even prana is afraid of Brahman. Baya hetutvam also has got restricted meaning only in your interpretation. But in our interpretation, Siddhanti's interpretation, it is everything including prana. Then you say prana is samrutattva karanam also. And we say Brahman is samrutattva karanam. When you say it is apekshika amrutattvam, it's not real moksha, it's relative moksha. It is only brahmaloka prapti. You are saying amrutattvam, at best a person can get only brahmaloka. It gives long life. It doesn't make one immortal. Even though Brahmaji has long life, he is also discrete only, finite only. Compared to life on earth, life in brahmaloka is much longer. We agree. But Brahman is atyanta amrutattva karanam. And here also, you have restricted meaning only. You take vachyartha, we take the lakshyartha, the implied meaning. And second thing is what? We say it is a compromise because prana as vayu is popular in the world. But prana as Brahman is shastra prasiddha. It may not be laukika prasiddha, but it is shastra prasiddha. Shastra uses the word in the meaning of Brahman alone. In Keno Upanishad, Shrotrasya Shrotra, Manaso Manoyatin, Vachoha Vacham, Sau Pranasya Pranaha, Chakrusa Chakshukum, Atimucha Dhiraham, Pretyasma Lokat, Amrita Bhavanti. These are the shloka. Brahman defined as Pranasya Pranaha. Therefore, we have taken Shastra Prasiddhartha, whereas we are taking only Loka Prasiddhartha. So, in the context of Shastra study, what is important? We should take Shastra Prasiddha Artha only, not Loka Laukika Artha, because this is Shastra we are studying. Therefore, our interpretation is supported by Shruti itself. And the third argument is Samdamsa Nyayaha. This Samdamsa Nyayaha, I have told earlier in some other context, when a particular mantra is vague, then you study the previous mantra and the later mantra to arrive at the context of this mantra. For example, whatever be the topic of the previous mantra and the later mantra, that alone must be the topic of the vague mantra also. Otherwise, there will be no continuity. Here, what is the vague mantra here? The 2.3.2. Yaditam kincha jagate sarvam prana yajiti nisritam mahadbayam vajramudyatam yayetad viduhum amrutaste bhavanti. There is a mantra where it is said the whole universe evolved from the Brahman, moves in prana. The Brahman is a great terror, like the uplifted thunderbolt. That's what this mantra says. So those who know this, they become immortal. So as this mantra is vague, we take the context from the previous and later mantras. So from what nyaya? Samdamsa nyaya. Here the mantra 2.3.1 is the previous mantra. And it talks about Brahman. And that mantra says, Urdva moolo vak chakshakaha yesho swatta sanatanaha tadeva shukram tad brahma tadeva amrutam uchyate tasmin loka shritaha sarve tadunatyeti kaschana etad vaitat. Katopanishad, second chapter, third section, first mantra. And the later mantra, the 2.3.2 is our mantra, we are the Vishayavakyam. 2.3.1 and 2.3.3 are the previous and the later mantras. So 2.3.3 says what? Bayat asya agni tapati asya agni hi tapati bayat tapati suryaha bayat indrascha vayuscha mrityur dhavati panchamaha. Same mantra similar to what we said read in Taittiriya Upanishad. In the third mantra that we just read, it clearly talks about Brahman, which is the cause of fear, including Vayu. It makes it clear that the Upanishad does not deal with Vayu Tattva at all, but talks about Brahman only. So first mantra and third mantra deal with Brahman, and so the middle mantra should deal with Brahman alone, even though the Brahman word is not explicitly stated there. And the very context is Brahma Prakaranam, and this mantra is Yama Dharma Raja's teaching to whom? Nachiketas. Nachiketas as for what? Beyond cause and effect, which is beyond past and future. And the entire Kathopanishad is answer to that question. Prana is here above cause and effect. And that can be Brahman only and not Vayu Tattvam. Therefore, prana is the mantra in this mantra has to be Brahman only. And therefore, pranaha Brahma Kampanat. Kampanat is a sutra. So to understand this Kampanat, we have to go through all this discussion. Now let us do the conclusion. Five factors again. The Vishaya Vakyam, Vishayaha, subject matter is prana. And second, the samshaya, the doubt, is prana is Brahman or Vayu? That is the doubt. And the third is Purvapaksha. Purvapaksha, what he says? Prana means Vayu only, Vayu Tattvam. And Siddhanti says, prana is Brahman. Therefore, prana is Brahman. Sangatihi, this Adhikaranam is placed in the right place. Only one Sutra Adhikaranam. So with this, the 10th topic, the Kampana Adhikaranam is also over. यो वेदादौ स्वर प्रोक्तो वेदान्ते च प्रतिष्ठितः तस्य प्रकृतिलीनस्य परस्य महेश्वरः पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः श्रीकृष्णाय